Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. Again, the presses roll as Hal Burdick brings us another of his thrilling Night Editor stories. Tonight, a yarn set in the desert wasteland of the Old West, a tensely dramatic story titled Desert Justice.
From a peg in the shed, the woman took down a canvas water bag. You got one chance to get away, Bill. That's over Skeleton Hole Trail. You'll need water, and be sparing of it. No one ever got through Skeleton Hole alive unless he started with a full water bag. I'll head the posses off along the main road. Now, hurry.
Well, from his desk in the busy newsroom, Bobby noticed something a moment ago. He saw Jane Holmes, the food page editor, going into the little glass partition office where the Night Editor holds forth. And now, as the last copy is sent away for the late mail edition, Bobby also heads for that far corner of the room. He enters Hal's office saying,
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, come on in, Bobby.
Do these old eyes see a pot of coffee on Hal's desk?
They do, you chiseler. Wouldn't you know he'd try to gate crash our little party, Jane?
Well, we can spare him one cup, Hal. Yeah. I made plenty.
Boy, this is luxurious living. How come, Jane?
Oh, I was working late tonight on some advanced stuff from a page and decided a pot of coffee might be welcome. But you'll have to sit down and be quiet. Hal was about to tell me a story.
You just hand me my cup of coffee, and I'll be the conventional mouse in the corner.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Now then, Hal.
Well, I was telling Jane I saw an item in the proof tonight that reminded me of a yarn I picked up a good many years ago. This news story tonight was the one about the Army bomber that had to set down out in a section of the desert called Skeleton Hole. And they rescued the crew by an old prospector who found them just as they were about to cash in from thirst and the heat. But the yarn it brought back to my mind is one I call Desert Justice, which took place on the edge of that dismal part of the country. The woman sat in the doorway of the shed back at the farmhouse, mending a piece of harness. She must have been beautiful once. Now the bitter toil of keeping alive in the grim desert country had left its mark on her. Her hair was lifeless, dry as the gray dust. Her body bent and thin, hands knotted and calloused, and her face a monotone, as empty of life and color as the landscape. Distant heat waves rose and shimmered. Dust whirls took up a sundance along the ridges, spinning dervish-like across the blazing horizon. The woman raised her head and stared wearily out into the heat, then shaded her eyes with her hand, as a moving cloud of dust took shape far down the road. She stood up, the heavy harness needle dangling from her hand, and watched. Visitors were rare in her life. Well, a prospector headed for the hills, perhaps. They usually came this way to get water from her spring, the only watering place for miles around. A man astride a cow pony and leading a pack horse turned into the yard. He slid off the pony, and there was something familiar about his walk as he slouched toward her, something that awakened distant memories, blurred by the years of heat and toil. He stopped, his teeth a sharp white line across his dusty beard, as his lips parted in a smile.
Well, howdy, Jess. Well, don't you know me?
At the sound of his voice, her body tensed under the faded calico dress. The knuckles of her hands were red knots under the blanched skin.
Bill!
Yep. It's me, all right. How are you, old girl?
Why have you come here?
Well, now, that don't sound like you're glad to see me.
And why should I be glad after all these years?
Well, after all, I'm your husband, Jess. I'm still your husband. You might greet me like one.
Her head moved slowly from side to side. What do you want?
Why, to see you, Jess. Why else should I be riding way out into this godforsaken hole of a desert?
He sized up the orderly huddle of ranch buildings.
Not a bad place you got here. You done right well by it. Yeah. The boy still with you? He must be, let me see, close to 30 now. Think of that. 28 years since I saw him. That's a long time, Jess. A long time.
The woman's eyes were riveted on his leering face, her fists tight against her thighs in the folds of her dress. You You ain't wanted here, Bill. You can go.
Why, Jack? Well, now, must say, that ain't very friendly.
She pressed her thin back against the hot, sharp edge of the doorframe. For an instant, the lids closed over the faded eyes. Why should I be friendly to you? Why should I let you set foot on my place? 28 years ago, you took every cent we had and cleared out. You left my baby and me to fight it out alone. We could have starved to death for all you cared. Her eyes flashed open, and the man cringed as their hatred licked at him like flames. We didn't die. We fought heat and storms and sickness and loneliness to keep alive. We made this, and no part of it belongs to you. Now, get out. Only the dry brush of the leaves in the cottonwood trees around the spring broke the desert stillness. Then the man was whining.
Wait a minute now, Jess. I'll tell you why I'm here. I need your help, Jess. I'm in a little trouble. I need to lay low for a spell. I figured I'd stay here till it blows over, and then I'll clear out if you want me to.
What have you done? His eyes moved furtively about the yard, and he edged closer to her.
Look, old girl, I've had a lot of hard luck since I saw you last. You hate me for pulling out on you, but I did it because I thought I could do something better, make a lot of money, and come back and take you and the boy to some decent place to live. But, well, it's been bad luck year after year. And, yes, 2 days ago I held up the paymaster at the Lucky Hill Mine. I don't know how it happened. I was scared, I guess. My gun went off, accidental-like, and killed the paymaster. They're after me with posses, Jess. I've been traveling nights and hiding daytimes. Now, you can put me up here just for a few days. Then I'll leave and you'll never see me again.
The woman shuddered. You're a murderer.
No, Jess. No, it is accidental. I swear it was.
Makes no difference. You can't hide here. This is the one place they'll be sure to come. It's the only water anywhere's around. Posses will know anybody headed this way would have to stop here. The man was pleading now.
Look, Jess, you gotta help me. Do you realize they get me, I'll swing for it, sure? Why, they'll hang me to the first tree.
There was a long silence. Then, Bill, for all of me, I'd be glad to see you hang. You deserve it. You're just a murderer, that's all. But I've got to help you. Those posses are being led by your son. He was elected sheriff of this county last fall. He don't know you, and I don't want him to, ever. And much as I hate you, I can't let him have his own father's blood on his hands. From a peg in the shed, she took down a canvas water bag. You got one chance to get away, Bill. That's over Skeleton Hole Trail. You'll need water, and be sparing of it. No one ever got through Skeleton Hole alive unless he started with a full water bag. You bear off between those two buttes there and keep the Blue Ridge to your left. That way you'll come out into Grass Valley. I'll head the posses off along the main road. Now, hurry. Quickly, the man filled the water bag at the spring and hitched it to the pack horse. As he swung to the saddle, he looked down at the woman.
Jess, old girl, I don't deserve all this help from you. Someday, things will be squared between us. I swear it. Yeah. Goodbye.
The cowpony moved forward. The line tightened. The pack horse took up the plodding pace. The man's face was turned toward the distant buttes. He didn't see the grim lines etched in the corners of the woman's bloodless lips. He didn't hear the whisper that might have been a prayer. He didn't see her hand rise swiftly, surely, as the pack horse passed her standing there, or the shining blade of the long harness needle as it struck like a snake. Only the woman saw the bright drop that followed the point of the needle out of the canvas bottom of the water bag. The bright drop hanging there, glistening like a tear, then falling to make a tiny point of mud in the dust. The bronzed young sheriff stood close to his mother while the posse watered their horses at the trough below the spring.
Yeah, he went along the main road, you say, Ma?
Yes, son.
Well, it's the man we're after, all right. You'll have to stick to the main road if he didn't stop here for water. He wouldn't dare try the Skeleton Hole Trail.
No. No, he couldn't come out alive.
A brawny arm tightened around her shoulders.
Well, boys and me will be on our way up the main road, Ma.
He bent over her, lips close to her cheek.
Oh, shucks, Ma. I don't get to see you half enough since I took over this sheriff's job. I'm coming out soon to spend a week with you, since you won't leave the place and come into town to live.
Her arms closed fiercely around his neck. She drew his cheek down to touch hers.
The blessed big sun. You're all I have in this world.
She stood there alone, watching the dust cloud that followed the riders up the main road until they whirled out of sight around the low point of a ridge. A solitary gray figure blending into the gray sand. Slowly, she turned her head. Beside the hoof marks leading towards Skeleton Hole Trail, tiny blisters marked water drops in the dust. Drops that would go on falling unseen by the rider ahead, laying their death trail into Skeleton Hole. The awful stillness of the desert closed down around her. Wearily, she moved toward the doorway to the shed. The long needle in her hand reminded her that harness was still to be mended.
Well, folks, that was certainly a different kind of desert justice. Not so swift, but certainly sure. As sure as the delicious extra flavor lift you will enjoy in Edward's coffee. And believe me, that's sure. Because this extra rich flavor is the result of Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula of years spent in the fine art of blending and roasting fine coffees. Well, just to show you, Edwards' coffee contains only the choicest Central and South American coffee beans, carefully pre-selected for size, shape, and color, then skillfully blended in small batches under Mr. Dwight Edwards' personal supervision, and not by weight, but by flavor. And that's not all. Edwards' coffee is roasted by the thermal process only to bring out the full, natural coffee flavor. Ground for you right at the store to bring you that flavor in all its richness. Try Edwards' coffee for an extra flavor lift. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards' coffee is featured at all Safeway stores.
Well, we'll all remember your Desert Justice story for a long time, Hal. What's ahead for us next week?
Old Dad Ball was one of the best-loved characters in the town of Hilton. And the afternoon he was cornered in the back room of his little tinker's shop by a gunman who had just held up the bank, the whole town was ready to come to his rescue, but no one dared for fear of what might happen to him. Then Dad found his own way out of his predicament when he showed the gunman a letter and the written line that gives the story its title. 30 Days to Live. It's a dramatic human interest yarn with a surprise ending that I hope you'll all enjoy. Good night.
Join us next week at the same time when the roar of the presses brings us another of Hal Burdick's thrilling yarns from the newsroom. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.